What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Energy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
More regulation.
Emotional education.
End the war
libertarianism.
On drugs.
Socialism. I'm Tuke Edelo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to What Would Save the World on the new season of Radio Free Brooklyn. This is season 5 on Radio Free Brooklyn and season 3 of What Would Save the World. And today I'm here with Nia and Ness, who are fantastic performance artists. They're poet, dance. I saw them at Circus of Dreams, which is a show that's every first Wednesday of the month in Bushwick at Bazaar Bar, and I was super blown away. So I knew I had to have them come on this show and take a break from my weird, angry anarchist, like Ann Coulter-ish shit. I feel like I'm like the anarchist Ann Coulter. And you know, we're all tired of fucking hearing about all that shit because you know the world's gone absolutely off its rocker when the actual Ann Coulter starts not defending Trump anymore. That's how you know it's over. but anyway, before I start talking about all that, let's not talk about that shit today. Let's meet Nia and Ness. You guys want to say hi?
Hi.
Oh, this is so amazing.
So they literally just walked in. So we're going to do sound check right here for the first live episode of What Would Save the World. And the background music you hear right now, that's by William Mulsom. He's an Austin-based artist. So we're going to talk today about how our bodies affect our lives, because my understanding is that a lot of your work is about bodies and how you relate to each other and everybody else and the world in general. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Like, what's that like? Where did this start? Like, how did this become like such a like a focus topic in your art?
Well, it literally started when we were in Europe for about 4 months. I was dancing at a company out there. And I came back to New York. We were living in Jersey at the time. And I was doing a bunch of different auditions for dance companies and dance projects. And I was normally the only Black person in the room. And if I wasn't the only Black person in the room, I was the darkest one in the room. Mm-hmm. I was normally the only one with natural hair, things of that sort. And I also knew that a lot of the jobs I didn't get wasn't because I wasn't talented enough. It was because of the way I looked. So I was just like, and even certain jobs I did get, nothing felt right on my body. Like, everything felt like I was forcing it out. So then there was a call for artists by the group, the Critters Collective. They were working with Open Source Gallery and Park Slope for a show based on an exhibit they had called She Who Tells a Story. Yes.
Rawia.
And they were looking for all different types of artists, and I was like, hey, you know, we should apply for this and do something. And Ness was like, sure. So we created our piece, Blind Spot, which is solely about our identities as two Black lesbian women and the things we go through, and me being a dark-skinned Black woman and Ness being a light-skinned Black woman. Also her being more masculine presenting and me being more feminine to androgynous presenting. So after doing that piece, we were like, holy crap. Like, we need to keep doing this because we realized that our stories weren't being told. To this day, we go to shows, we go to plays and whatnot, and we never see us represented. So we realized that we need to talk about us because no one else is, and there's plenty of people out there who need to see us and see what we're doing. And the experiences we go through every day as being two Black lesbian women walking down the street, on the train, on the bus, it's needed. And just leaving the house is hard every day because we know what we're gonna be basically attacked with.
Yeah,
you know,
like, in our face.
Yeah, in our face every day. We can't afford it. So it needs to be talked about, needs to be danced about, needs to be put out there because no one else is doing it.
Do you think that there's, like, this fear of, like, a pushback do you think people are afraid to talk about it more?
I think so. I think that's part of it. I remember reading that, like, when Malcolm X was murdered, people were like, oh, you know, I don't really want to speak about Black issues anymore. And same thing with Martin Luther King. Like, a lot of people felt like they didn't want to say things anymore, and people became kind of silent. And I think that that is a thing. But I took a class on Audre Lorde a few years ago, and one of the things she said was that, Audre Lorde, context, black lesbian feminist who passed away from cancer, I think, in the 90s. But she was...
Read her stuff, everybody.
Yeah, she's amazing. Amazing. And she said, your silence won't save you. Something like that. I can't remember the exact words, but yeah, like it won't protect you. You can think it will, but it's not going to. If anything, all that's going to happen is you're going to die anyway and just die with all these silences you had. Mm-hmm. So you might as well speak when you can, when you're alive. So that's, for me, that's why we have to do this.
Yeah, and there's also like this element of people, I experience this just like as a woman in general, like that whole like, if you say something, like if you don't say something, or if you act this way, it's your fault. Like,
right.
It's like a very victim blaming thing. Like, oh, I don't want to say anything because they're going to, it's like, I feel like when I was thinking about this topic, like at home, I was thinking, well, what am I going to ask? How are we going to talk about this? I was thinking a lot about how it feels like there's this like specific push to make certain body types like feel like it's not good for them to have that body. And it's like, such a weird, like, superficial... I feel like we live in such a superficial society.
Yeah, we definitely.
Like, last night, I met this guy who I was sort of interested in, but then they immediately just started talking all about my body, all about my body, all about my body. And I was like, you know, like... And I'm a stripper, so I'm like, I hear a lot about my body like on a regular basis, and if you want to, like, really know me, let's talk about, like, what I think and what you think. And they were like, oh, I already know. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. You don't get it at all. So that was what I started thinking about. But I am interested in, how do you feel about how our society has deemed like one type of body masculine and one feminine? Like, how do you feel? I remember I saw, oh, by the way, Nia and Ness are doing this great fundraiser on Friday at the new hotel.
It's a new hotel in
Brooklyn. It starts at 7, right?
Yes.
On Friday. And you guys are going to be traveling around, or were you going to a bunch of different places?
First, I think it starts at 8:30, actually.
Door opens at 8:30. I don't know why I thought 7. 8:30, everybody. I'll have to change that on all the internet stuff.
Yeah. And traveling around. At some point, we'd like to, but...
We're going to Wisconsin.
So. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. Yes, we're going to Wisconsin July 6th through 9th for the National Women's Music Festival. We are finalist performances in that festival.
One out of three.
Yes. Yes.
For that. And then we also have our evening link show called Run, premiering on August 11th and 12th.
Mm-hmm. How long is it? It's like an hour?
It's going to be
about.
Wow. Yeah.
At least an hour.
So it's going to be just spoken word and movement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The projection as well.
Right.
We plan on having like an exhibit out in like the lobby area before you guys come in. So you guys can like, because the whole scenario of Run, it's basically as if you are a fly on the wall in our apartment, and we are speaking about things that we only really normally speak about in our apartment. Mm-hmm. So basically, we're kind of like letting you into our minds, souls, and our bodies, kind of preparing you for what you're going to see when you walk into the space.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting, like the conversations that people like haven't heard before. Like, I really like that. You guys are saying, like, this thing, like, oh, these are the stories that people don't talk about.
Right.
Yeah.
That's really. But why do you think there's such a, like, the society has, like, deemed certain bodies this way and certain bodies that way? I remember, I was reading on your fundraiser page, someone of the poets that's coming, I think Tomcat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something about masculinity. Like, I was reading this article recently about pheromones, and somebody did a study on, like, scents and, like, put a bunch of like people of different sexual orientations and stuff, watch these like silhouettes of bodies, and it was like a lot of people would deem bodies just like the way they wanted them to be, kind of like they would show like a very, very like neutral body, and that like straight men would be like, oh, that's a feminine body.
Oh, wow.
And it was very based on scent. I don't know how that's even relevant, but it was interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about it based on scent, but I guess based on sight, why our society has done this. I feel like our society is very, it's a dualistic society. So you know, you need to have something that opposes something else if you're going to set something up that way. And so I see that in terms of race. I see that in terms of class, in terms of gender, sexual orientation. I see it that way.
Must be this or that.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't be both. There's no possible way. Even with, like, our elections, you have to be either a Democrat or a Republican.
Yeah.
Nobody pays attention to third party. Like, you know, yeah. Like that kind of thing. And then what were we going to say? Sorry.
And then I was going to say, like, why is it, like, everything's like almost like so religious. It's like, yeah, good or evil. Mm-hmm. It's like,
right,
why is that? But good, like, that's good, that's bad. It's like, no, that's just different.
Right.
Unless, of
right,
course, you're like a total bigot. But like, but then, but pretty much everything else there,
yeah,
there's some like, some blurred lines there, right, where it's like, that's not necessarily bad or necessarily, mm-hmm, that's like an experience or like a difference. And I feel,
yeah,
like that's like extremely important. Like, this is something I was actually writing about. You know how like the right, or the far right is talking,
yeah,
about how gender is not a social construct.
Oh God, yes.
And I was, and my response is always like, well, you know that there are cultures that have recognized as many as 5 gender roles,
right,
and in India they legally, I don't know why you have to legally recognize a gender, but they legally recognize the hirsutes as a third gender in India.
Mm.
So I was like, well, and they're like, well, that's just their culture. I'm like,
right,
yes, well, that is just their culture, which makes it a social construct.
Right.
It's like, how do you, like, you know, you can't really have it. But yeah, the dual thing, that's me. I used to, when I was like a young acid kid, like just like, sure, like I would write everything and nothing, everything,
yes,
and nothing.
Yes.
It's always this. So everything is a fucking two-party system. And I just tweeted, for people listening to What Would Save the World right now, I tweeted, why must everything be the two-party system? Get involved with that conversation, guys.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, so like, so you think there's like a body hierarchy? Like, I remember when I was, mm-hmm, when I watched you guys perform at Circus of Dreams, there was something like about like how the body, if it's on a white woman, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
can you tell me more about that?
Definitely. I mean, one, going back to masculine and feminine, I feel like I who I am as a person is very masculine and feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like for a long time I had to choose either I'm this way or that way. And I'm like, actually, I'm both. So, like, I feel like my masculinity comes out more when I'm dancing,
mm-hmm,
and that energy that comes out. When it comes to my body physically, I definitely feel like there have been times at my job, for example, where I've worn something very similar to a white person who has a very similar build as me. And I've gotten comments made towards me and whatnot. That I'm showing too much skin, or, you know, it's too sexy on me and things of that sort. And I'm just like, well, she's wearing the same exact thing that I am, and she is a very similar build to what I am. I've also been in pieces where, one piece in particular, I was supposed to come, everyone was supposed to come out in their underwear. And at first I was told I had to wear shorts instead of underwear because it would look too sexy on me if I wore the underwear. And granted, the other woman in the piece was around the same exact body type as me, maybe a little bit, even a little bit bigger in like,
yeah,
the bottom half.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's pretty messed up. Like, there's no reason of why it would look quote unquote sexier on me than it would on her.
Such a weird like over sexualization,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
objectification shit. It's very weird.
Yeah.
And, like, I'll even see things, like, on other bodies, typically white women's body, and I'm like, wow, I wish I could actually wear that outside without people making comments at me. I mean, granted, I know other women receive catcalls and whatnot, but I know if I wore something like that to work, for example. Like, I just stopped wearing bras recently. It's been about, maybe 2 months?
Longer, yeah.
They don't feel good.
Yeah.
They don't. I little by little, I stopped wearing them, like, less and less and less. I just don't wear them at all. And I first started doing it, oh, my God, all the comments.
Yeah.
Especially at my job, like, you're not wearing a bra? Why aren't you wearing a bra? That's really weird. You shouldn't be wearing a bra. Like, I'm like, well, boobs aren't made to be sexualized. They actually were, you know, created to, like, feed children.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why they were created.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, it's y'all who are making it sexual.
Right.
Like, I honestly think it's more sexual for me to wear a giant push-up bra and have, like, my cleavage, like, up to here versus me not wearing a bra at
all.
Yeah.
It's, like, I feel like a lot of, like, the types of like sexuality forced on women are like constricting. It's, yeah. That's just like how I feel about like the sexual culture. It's like, let us own you as much as possible. Right. Like, it's like heels. First of all, I mean, honestly, I will be real. I really, really like wearing heels. That's for sure. But regardless, it's like, but when I don't feel like wearing them, I have to wear them in my job. So, you know, sometimes I don't feel like it. But it's like makes you walk slower, makes it harder to stand. And then the bra makes you harder to breathe. And like, I've noticed, like, I have like chest pains. Mostly when I smoke weed. But it's like, but I do think some of it is like the bra pushing into my body and stuff like all the time.
Yeah, and he has talked about that as well.
And did you feel like when you go to like a bra store, they'll fit you tighter than it actually works for you?
Sometimes, yes. Because like, I'll want, like, especially when I want like a full coverage bra, they'll be like, no, this is fine. I'm like, but like half my boob's hanging out. Like, I want that for sometimes, but like not always. It's really interesting. Also, they're crazy expensive for no reason. Like, if you need like a really good bra, the Victoria's Secret bras are fucking ridiculously priced.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I have to like, I have like a really, really weird boob size. Like, I have like big boobs and like a tiny body. So it's one of those things where like, or not anymore really. I've been gaining weight and I'm actually pretty happy about it because I feel really good about it. But like for a minute, I was like, oh my God. Am I gonna lose my job? Like, are they gonna? Because like, yeah, because it's super crazy. Like the whole all the body standards are super fucked up. Wow. I don't understand why there's like a body hierarchy at all. Because it's like, most people look pretty good.
Yeah,
that's how I feel like, and I'm not really like thinking about that very often. You know, like, oh, like, is their body like fit my body standard, you know what I mean? And that's why I get really confused about all this stuff, because I'm very much like I date people like a lot based on like what they say to me. So it's like, but I'm also probably like a little pansexual or something. but I get really confused by it. Like, I wonder, like, I understand like there is like physical attraction, and that's like a human thing for a lot of people, but I don't understand why there's such an emphasis on looks in our society. It almost feels like it was like planned. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there was like, somebody was like, I want to stay in power.
Right.
So let me make these certain standards so that like only certain people.
Right.
It's super, like my friend was telling me about, do you know what Dungeons and Dragons is?
I've heard of Dungeons and Dragons.
This is such a silly story to tell right now. But Dungeons and Dragons is like, you pick like, you can be like an elf, you can be like a fairy, like, so you can't be a fairy, but you can be a bunch of different things. You can be half elf, you can be an orc, you can be all this shit. But then you can be like a type of person. You can be like, I think you can be like a warrior. I might not even be one. I'm sorry, D&D people. I'm just trying to name with it. But there's like, but then like, then there's like a sage. So this person made a world that like is special for like sage, for sages, and they all had to pick two versions, and somebody was the double sage, and they just were doing everything.
Ooh.
And they basically couldn't, nobody else could really get themselves. Huh. So I feel like a lot of the ways our system, when I heard that, I was like, I feel like that like metaphorically relates to the systems that are in place right now.
Definitely.
Or the society that has like, you know, like othered and like done the, like the black and white thinking, like the two-party system.
Right,
it's like,
right.
Oh, this side is the one that's going to succeed,
yeah,
quote unquote.
Yeah.
I'm doing the quotey finger. Because that.
Definitely.
Fucking definition of success is ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm like, what does that even mean? Because like, if you know, it's like trying to work without one half of your body. Like, you can't do that. You know, like, I can't go that way and then go that way and then, like, I'm gonna split in half. Like, nothing's gonna work out. So like, this two-party system, as we say, or this dualistic thinking, like, it's not gonna get anybody anywhere in the end. Like, it might seem like it works for a little while, but no.
I mean, anybody who thought it was working, like, only decided it wasn't working when Trump won. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's, like, this whole thing now where people are like, oh, the system has become so fucked up. I'm like, well, I mean, like, just because, like, now the big companies are actually in the office doesn't mean that they weren't in the office before.
Right. Right. Now we see them.
Yeah.
That's the only difference.
But I'm also curious. So, like, when you said you feel like you have, like, masculine tendencies and feminine, like, how does that even, like, define for you? Because that's something that I get confused a lot with. I'm like, well, what is masculinity? Anyway, what does any of this shit mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm still on that journey of figuring it out. I feel like, because some days I will feel like something I thought was masculine one day is actually feminine the next. For me personally, because even like I've had a lot of like, for example, like kids mistake me for a man.
Really?
Yeah. Ironically, at first I used to get really offended by it. When I was younger, I get so angry. But now I kind of like, I'm like, thanks. You know, that means I can look like both. And that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And also, like, Ness and I have talked about this. Maybe, like, and we all know how, like, kids things see things differently than adults might. And they might just see that masculinity in me that day. That they might not have seen the day before or the day after. I feel like a lot of things that we deem to be masculine, such as aggression, for example, is very feminine as well. I feel like it's either or. So, like, I don't know. It really, for me, it depends on the day.
Mm-hmm. At this point, like, I feel like it almost doesn't mean much. Like,
yeah.
It's something, it's something where it's like, I feel like I get really angry at, like, quote-unquote masculinity, but not, like, but it's not masculinity. It's just a, like, toxic, like almost, like, we can say it's dual culture, but I also often call it oneness culture because I see this whole, like, messiah-based society. Mm. And I see, like, a lot of people, like, in the U.S., I think about how, you know, there seems to be this, like, appropriation of Eastern culture.
Yes, definitely.
But it's, like, people here still don't understand like a poly culture, like a culture of many gods or culture of many leaders, because they've been raised to think there's this oneness thing. And I meet a lot of like young men who like think they're the messiah. You ever run into this?
Yes.
Like these young guys who like think they're God.
Yeah.
And it's very strange to me, this messiah thing and the. And I feel like that's like how I have a tendency to define masculinity in my head, is like a oneness.
Yeah.
And not a oneness in like we're one and we all connect to whatever, but like this like top down. Like, I feel like I disassociate masculinity with like everything I don't like.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's exactly healthy. I'm like, oh, this is objective. That's an objective. This is a totally straight down like. By the book, like no emotion, no.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that might be a little bit minimizing on my part, you know, because like I think that there's also like, so it's so interesting actually to think about like what like how do you define masculinity?
I think I look at it as like energy, like. From what I've like read and heard, female energy is very like all over the place. It's very busy and it's like always moving, and masculine energy is. Like direct. And so I try, for me, combining the two is like, I'll have all these ideas and all these thoughts and they're all over the place and I don't really know how to connect them with my feminine energy. So I'll take my masculine energy and be like, all right, connect the dots or connect this line with that. And now we have some kind of shape and some kind of direction. That's kind of the way I see it. Like,
it's a lot like Kabbalah.
I guess.
No, but Kabbalah is about, I'm Jewish-ish.
Awesome.
I'm Jewish. You know, I got... some of my issues with the, you know, like super religious Judaism, but a Kabbalah is all about like, it's like how there was like these lights and like all this shit in the universe, but like how like it's to combine the masculine and the feminine energy. And I almost feel like those two energies, I feel like it's almost like inaccurate to call them masculine and feminine.
Yeah.
Because it was just not inaccurate. I'm not going to tell anybody. But it like, makes them associated with a specific gender, and it also like plays to our dual system and plays to like the gender binary, which is like honestly like been really destructive in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it depends on how we look at it too, because I don't see them as standing apart from, you know, each other. Like, you know, this water is in this bottle, and if this bottle spills, the water's gonna leak out, and then they're separated, and I can't do anything with the water now. Right.
Yeah.
If this bottle, I can take it with me. I can drink it. And this bottle without the water is just, it's useless almost.
Yeah.
Unless something else goes in it. But yeah, I don't see them as like acting apart from each other. I feel like everybody has levels of masculine and feminine within us, and the way we balance them is our own unique way of being in the world. Mm-hmm. You can't have one without the other, or you're not moving. Like I don't.
Yeah.
I, yeah.
I kind of want to ask you a question, though.
Yes, talk to me.
Ask as many talk, please.
Because you said before that you've read places that this is what masculinity, the definition of that, and femininity, this definition.
Right.
But, like, what is masculine and feminine, like, in your own words?
So, you would be that push, you know, since we first got together. Nia has always, like sometimes when I'll speak, people won't really question what I say. They'll just be like, oh, wow, yeah, you know, and I'll feel good, you know, profound. And then Nia will be like, but what about this? And I'm just like, shit. I mean, shoot, can I say that?
Oh, you can say fuck. And oh, you can
okay,
say
fuck.
Piss.
I was like,
we should say this is a Radio Free Brooklyn. We're free form internet radio. You can say whatever the fuck you want.
Yes. So I was like, man, you know, she questions me. So yeah, in my own words, and maybe that's something I'm still playing with myself because I mean, if I think back to when I was like 5 or 6 or 4, I didn't think about masculine and feminine like that. I just knew that, you know, I liked this and I didn't like that. And I knew that I felt very hyperactive. I felt very, like I was always outdoors. I always wanted to play outside. I always wanted to run. I always wanted to go. I always wanted, you know, be fast and stuff like that and be the best and all that, which have been associated with masculine traits. But again, I didn't see it that way. And then as I got older, people started saying, oh, you know, do you want to be a boy? She wants to be a boy, you know. She dresses like her dad ridiculous. And all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, so now that's when it started to form that way for me. So, yeah, I guess in balancing my masculine and feminine, there are moments where I feel very quiet and I feel very still. And I feel very wise in those moments. And in those moments, I feel that that's my feminine energy. And I feel like it's having me listen as opposed to speak. Because what's going to come next in words is going to probably be the masculine because it's going to be projecting whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I guess masculine is the voice of the feminine, almost, because I don't want to, like, it speaks for it. It doesn't speak for it, but it has to listen to speak, right? Feminine is speaking, but you can't hear it. The masculine would be the projection of that. And it doesn't have to speak all the time because there are other ways to make it voiced.
I'm not sure. I mean,
I don't know.
I hear what you're saying. I mean, right now we're getting really existential.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is great. I love that stuff. I'm a huge pothead. I'm not high right now, though. But I think actually, like, for me, I guess, again, like, I think about a lot of this stuff like as a reclamation almost. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like the feminine, like, people want me to be really submissive, and I'm not.
Yes,
I'm not submissive. I'm, like, super, like, I can be pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
But I think that I think about like matriarchal societies and like how those exist. And I think about like how a lot of those societies, even though they've been small, they have been more collectivist. They've been more all over, like women are all raising the children together. And that just makes me think about like women being, not women necessarily, but like the feminine being like more reflective. So that's what I took from what you just said, like this, like, let's reflect. And that's why when I feel like, I've been wondering before, like, if women had run the world or if we had been a matriarchal society, would it even look remotely like it looks right now? Because I was in a debate with someone that I'm dating, and I was like, female leaders, like, or women don't do this shit. They just don't. Like, I hate to say that there's such, I hate to generalize, but they just don't do this shit where they just want the power for no reason. We were watching a documentary about Gaddafi.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And how, like, they didn't actually do this thing that they said he did, but he just said he did it anyway because he knew he could, like, use it for this, like, power play. And I was like, that's, like, the cringe. Actually, I think Gaddafi, like, is the best comedian of all time. But but I was like, what is this? I was like, women didn't do this. And they were like, Margaret Thatcher, Hillary Clinton. I'm like, yes, but did they have to do it even worse to gain the power in the society? If the women had been in power all along, would we even have, like, singular leaders? And they were like, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. Someone reacted to one of my things. I said, something about masculinity. I said, they said, should I use manly words or girly words?
God.
JJ Hayes responded to something I said about masculine and feminine. Wow, JJ. I know JJ. So let's take a little breather for a second. When we come back, I'd like to talk about like what we can do about some of these like roles, and like we've been talking about masculine and feminine. We've said a lot of beautiful things about both. We've said a lot of things about bodies and the standards and how fucking like constricting and like shitty that is. But we're gonna play a song by Gila the Gila. It's called Body Hair. She's been on this show before with her partner Sir Nate. They did a show, How Can We Get Rid of Plastic? If you go to audioboom.com and look up What Would Save the World, you can find their episode. It was a great episode. But we're having a Radio Free Brooklyn season 5 kickoff fundraiser concert on Sunday, May 21st. It's gonna be at 5:30 p.m. at a secret location. You have to RSVP at radiofreebrooklyn.com/tickets to be emailed the exact address. We have the Bushwick Hotel, Love Honey, The Falling Birds, also Radical Vaudeville hosted by Faceboy. And it's going to be $10. And again, radiofreebrooklyn.com/tickets. And do you love Radio Free? This is what it's telling me to read on the copy. Do you love Radio Free Brooklyn? Love spending your Sundays dancing to rad local musicians? Want to help RFB kick off season 5? Hold on, I got to put on some music for this because this is ridiculous. Radio Free Brooklyn, I love you, but you are really funny sometimes. Ads are hilarious. Okay, here we go. Love spending your Sundays dancing to rad local musicians? Want to help RFB kick off season 5? Well, you're in luck. Join us Sunday, May 21st, starting at 5:30 p.m. for a special fundraising concert featuring music by Brooklyn's own Bushwick Hotel, Love Honey, and The Falling Birds. Also, Radical Vaudeville acts emceed by Face by host of Art Star Scene Radio. The event will be held at a secret location in East Williamsburg. Tickets $10. And once you RSVP at radiofreebrooklyn.com/tickets, you'll be emailed the exact location. So help us dive into summer at RFB season 5 kickoff showcase on May 21st. Visit radiofreebrooklyn.com/tickets to grab your ticket, and we'll see you on the dance floor. You will see me on the dance floor, baby cakes. All right, so we did that. And let us play Gila the Gila, and let me turn off this other. So this is called Body Hair, and she has one of the most interesting flows I've ever heard. She, and I'm gonna see if I can turn off my iTunes. This is my first episode live on Radio Free Brooklyn. Yay. As Woo. What Would Save the World. I also host Brooklyn Bake. I'm just kidding. I don't understand. Where is my iTunes? Do you ever like lose your iTunes and you're like, what the hell is going on? Okay, let's just quit iTunes. Yes, okay. Gila the Gila. This is her song, Body Hair.
Take it back to puberty, 2003. Life is getting sexy. Is he looking at me? And can he see the hair growing on my legs? Oh, gee, Mediterranean skin, Mediterranean vibes. I might be half Polish, but my eyebrows reach my eyelids. As a little girl discovering her hair, I was shamed and embarrassed. Oh, life's not fair. Susan is blonde, and I'm so brown. And all this cushy bush got my face in a frown. So I bought some sets of shaving cream. It's a fucking silicone dream. Out of the prettiest old boys we've seen, plucked and pruned, so pristine. Shaved legs, shaved pits. No one ever told me I'd get by on my wits. Or how about my tits? Aren't they cool? I got hair on my nipples, my chin, and neck too. Every single one of us grows their hair differently, and people of all genders have insecurity. They be feeling afraid, like, how will I get laid? Wish I had a hairy chest, I'd look like a mermaid. Oh no, you're homemade. All natural ingredients, hair or no hair, you are beautiful, I'm seeing ya.
Body, 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 body hair.
Silence from my eyes, media be telling lies as if it isn't real, we don't see it on TV. Armpits are like beards, they can look the nicest. Shaving or growing, it's not a social crisis. Stop saying I'm dirty cause I choose not to care. I do the fuck I want with my underarm hair. And my toe hairs, and my chin hair, and my leg hair, and my upper lip hair, and the hair on my fucking head, and the hair on my belly button, all of it. We be narin' or they be staring. Why you even caring? It's time to make herring.
Body, 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 body hair, body hair. Body, 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 body hair, body hair. Body, 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 body hair.
Shout out to my homies that keep their shit shaved. I will never judge you. Natural ain't the only way. Sometimes it's nice to be bald as fuck. Sometimes that body hair is running amok. Sometimes I'm smooth and he's deep in my groove. And under the sheets I see a head start to move. Ooh, so whatever. If it's in you, then trim it. But let's respect reality and let hair live with us. There are many different elements to the human aesthetic. We are so diverse and yet so interconnected. Let go of preconceptions, allow for all expressions. Teach little girls that their leg hair isn't gross. Teach adult men that female leg hair isn't gross. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, not the holder of the razor, not the oppressor in the laser, not the objectiveness of clean. Changing the way my hair is seen, remembering history, letting it grow, being free. Body hair. Like hair everywhere on their arms, shoulders, backs. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's like a forest. And then there's some people that don't grow hair at all. They just have like barely any. They have like eyebrows, nothing. You know, like they're just hairless, very thin hair. That's really fucking cool too. I love it all.
And that was Hila the Kila. That was Body Hair by Hila the Kila. And you should check her out on Bandcamp. Just look up Hila the Kila on Bandcamp or Killin' Hate, spelled K-I-L-L-I-N-H-8. That's their rap duo. They do a great song about plastic. Again, you can find them on audioboom.com. What Would Save the World. You can find the episode they did on How Do We Get Rid of Plastic. And they're some of the most positive people ever. They actually like made me feel a little awkward because of how negative I can be. I was like, oh shit. So we're taking a little bit of break here, and I'm gonna play a song by Kurt Wiley called Poor Unfortunate, also known as My Name Is Faith. And apparently I met Kurt Wiley at like Sidewalk Cafe a million years ago, and I don't remember, but I actually was doing Brooklyn Bandstand, which you can hear right after this actually with Tom Tenney, but I do it on Monday. And I found this show that was I was supposed to play music from, as we all do play music that's playing in the evening. And I ended up going to the show, and I couldn't find Kurt Wiley on the internet, and they ended up being one of my favorites. And this is their song Poor Unfortunate. They're fucking fantastic. Here we go.
Don't let me die the world.
Kurt Wiley, their song Poor Unfortunate, My Name is Faith. They're fucking fantastic. You're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. My name is Tuke Edelo, and I'm here with Nia and Ness, the amazing poetry and dance duo. And again, on Friday, May 19th, at 8:30 p.m., not 7, there's going to be a fundraiser for them to go travel and perform at all these different places at the New Hotel in Brooklyn. You should really check that out. I will be there, so you should definitely be there. Just because of that. No. And there's going to be a bunch of other poets and performers. It's definitely going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. So I'm just going to say I've been tweeting the whole show as I used to do when this was a pre-record, and I wrote, how do you define masculine and feminine in your own words? And this is Vladimir Ye Zichfrumaninoff, also known as Ed Pankoff. A lot of you people probably know this person from Bushwick if you hang out here. He wrote, masculinity, evil, wrong, destructive, responsible for prostate cancer, invented the atomic bomb. Femininity smells nice, wants everyone to get along, in the future will save the world and create space communism. I feel like they tailored that answer just for me. And then I said, why do we over-sexualize certain bodies? And somebody said, like, and somebody goes, like, if you have big boobs, low-cut clothes are automatically considered inappropriate for school / certain jobs. I'm assuming that's what you mean, right, Tuke? And somebody else said, got it. So I think that's pretty much exactly what we were talking about. So therefore, now we are validated by the people on the internet. I'm going to put on some little background music here. Let's talk about, this is FDR, Are You Ready to Rock by Brian Benelli. And I just think he writes all these songs about, he just has intro, like background music that's like about the presidents, which I think is like so nice. Funny. And I'm like definitely like a no more presidents kind of person as opposed to not my presidents kind of person.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I still think it's really funny. So we were talking a little bit about sex work, actually, in between. And if you know, you listening to this, I am a stripper, everybody. We were talking a little bit about, Nia, you were talking about how your coworker was talking about something.
Right? Basically, yeah, how he would probably like love to be a stripper. But because he is a more thin man, he feels like his body type wouldn't be accepted in that type of community. So he's just, like, turned off from even, like, trying to do it.
Yeah, and there's definitely, like, a lot of weird standards in that industry, like, where it's, like, even though customers and people would buy it, the bosses are, like, so afraid of, like, getting or losing a certain standard. Like, I, for a long time, had blue hair, and I had to wear a wig because they were oh, you look too punk or something. And then I have this other guy that I know who's always, like, what's wrong with them? Like, alternative girls are great. Like, alternative girls. And, like, and I mean, honestly, the industry is super racist. It's super racist. Like, there are mostly white girls at my job, white and Asian. And there's literally, like, one black girl. And it's actually really offensive. And it's something that is, it has bothered me a lot. And I'm not, you know, like, I'm not directly affected by it. And it's like, one of my friends asked me for a job, and I sent her the info, and I was like, but, like, you have to understand, like, he's racist. Like, that's why he's not, like cruel, but it's like, it's like, dude, like, don't you understand there are people here who would like that? Like, you're not, and it's just, like, it's really fucking gross. So, with that very, very sad fact, even in, like, the most underlying, shadiest job ever, there's still fucking, like, white supremacy. How do we think we can undo these, like, body hierarchies, as I was calling it when I was writing about this before I came here? What can we? And I think obviously, like art, like yours, helps that because it brings a story to audiences mm-hmm. that don't typically hear about this. Because, like, you know, Circus of Dreams, like I was saying on the break, as much as I love Circus of Dreams, there's a super bro-y audience mm-hmm. where a lot of people aren't even like paying attention to anything remotely social.
Yeah.
I feel like putting black and brown people in white spaces, like, because it's needed. And we put ourselves there, mm-hmm. even though a lot of the time it's really uncomfortable when we do performances. Normally, we're the only black people in the show. And if we aren't the only ones, we definitely are the minority. Like 98% of the shows we've done, we've been the only or the minority in the shows. I think if a white person is curating a show, it's like going out of their way to look for people of color, queer people, women to have in their shows, because we're just not being seen enough. We consistently go to different shows in New York and we're not seeing ourselves represented. And then it discourages people of color. If you don't see yourself being represented, it's like, why am I even going to try to create and perform or do anything of that sort when you're not seeing yourself? When you turn on the TV, you're not seeing yourself. When you go on the online, you're not seeing yourself represented in a positive way. So how can you possibly even, why try?
Yeah, this is definitely like a lot of discouraging stuff, especially like I'm not a comedian really anymore, but in the comedy world, there's like a huge, like almost like people like take sides now. Mm. It's like people are like, you cannot have an all white male show. Like, don't do it. Don't do it. They're like, well, why not? They were good comics. It's like, it's super discouraging.
Yeah.
I hear that. So that's a really good thing. Everybody who books shows out there, if you book shows, if you book art shows, like, don't just book all white people because it's, like, easy for you or something.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
that's
right.
Really, like, shady on almost. Yeah. Like, that's messed up. But also, you're listening to What Would Save the World, by the way. I'm Radio Free Brooklyn, and I got to say this before we go. If you like this and you like Freeform Radio, Radio Free Brooklyn, patreon.com/radiofreebrooklyn, you can donate to us because we are Freeform Radio. I can say fuck on the radio. You should totally support us. It's awesome. But also, like, how do you feel about, like, I don't know, like, so my friend is like a queer person of color activist, and they talk a lot about how, like, white people, like, expect them to, like, tell them how to do things.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, how do you feel about that? Like, if, like, a white person, like, books you on a show and they, like, want you to explain everything to, like, the white audience. Do you know what I mean? Is that, like...
Yeah.
Is that also, like... Is that like, the other side of it? That it gets a little... As you said, like, even though it can be uncomfortable, like... I don't know. Like, I just always think about, like, I wish those people would just, like... try to educate themselves.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, it feels like this, like very double-sided. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do I sound
No,
crazy?
You're right. It's almost like, here, you know, you go through this all day, every day, which is hard enough. Now you have to do the hard work of telling us about it. It's like, okay, well, how about you go into our community and just sit for a while and look around and just use your own mind and your own heart and, like, feel it out, and you'll figure out what's wrong. Like, we shouldn't have to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Do we? Yeah, because we can, and, you know, we recognize that people aren't going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we do have to. And, yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
For me personally, I take the... If someone wants to know something, I will take the time to explain it. But they also have to realize that not every person of color is going to do that, and that's totally fine, because it is exhausting explaining all the time what it's like to go to be a black lesbian woman. I have to explain it at work. I have to explain it on the street. I have to explain it at shows. I have to explain it sometimes even at home.
We
talk about different things. So it's like, it is exhausting. And I know of plenty black people who don't feel the need to have to talk about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for me personally, I do. and I will have those uncomfortable conversations with people if they are willing to hear and learn and be open to being uncomfortable, because it's an uncomfortable conversation to have on both ends. Also, sometimes if they don't want to hear, I'm still gonna say it because it needs to be said. In my workplace, I've done it as well. Yeah. Like, it just needs to be talked about. And
you're good at it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I feel like people don't even ask sometimes. That's another thing too. People don't ask because they don't care, and it doesn't affect them. They don't care about it.
I'm tweeting, how uncomfortable are you willing to be? That's okay. I am like a huge advocate for that. I'm like, oh, boo-hoo, you're a little uncomfortable, but you didn't understand something like an hour ago. Oh, your ego.
Yes. Yeah.
People's egos are hilarious.
They are.
You really care about that. That's what you care about. Like, you're worried that like maybe you were doing something wrong before, but now you have the chance to do it right, but you still don't want to do that because like if you think about 2 weeks ago, you'll be like, oh, that was wrong. No one will be able to think that was right. Like, it's like, what the fuck? And that's also another crazy, this is a little irrelevant, but like the fact that like the right is called the right and the alt-right sounds like all right. It's like, it's super. It's some like linguistic shit right there.
Oh, wow. I didn't think about that, but yeah.
Yeah. So we're coming to the end of the show. We have just a few minutes, and we actually have Tom Tenney here right now. We're setting up for Brooklyn Bandstand.
Great show today.
Brooklyn Bandstand. You're gonna hear local music from Brooklyn and New York City area. You might hear somebody from Connecticut who wishes they were living in New York. that's terrible. I'm sure Connecticut is a beautiful place. But you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. I've been here with Nia and Ness, the amazing spoken word and dance duo. Do you prefer poet or spoken word or both?
I'm beginning to lean more towards spoken word. For a while I wasn't, but yeah, then we'll get into that another time.
Okay, because when I saw you guys perform, I thought, oh, this is definitely spoken word. But then I read it on all your stuff. But again, you got to check out their fundraiser on Friday, 8:30 p.m., not 7, as I advertised it, because I don't know why, because I smoke too much weed or something. But at 8:30 p.m. on Friday, go to the New Hotel in Brooklyn. There's going to be a... You want to name some of the performers? Who else is performing?
Yeah, we got, let's see, Danny Chris, Tom Cat, Genevieve Boudouin, I think.
Yeah. Sweet Tooth. My mom.
Your mom's
performing a poem.
That's really cute.
Yes, she's doing Maya Angelou's Still I Rise. She's incredible. We got a little snippet of it on Sunday we saw her.
Yeah.
And she's incredible. It's like, holy crap. Yeah. I didn't know. I knew she was amazing, but I didn't know she was going to be like that amazing. So I'm really excited.
Since your mom not really a performer? Is that what it is? Just like...
She used to dance when I was younger.
And you're a dancer too.
Yeah.
That must have been a nice Mother's Day.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I've seen she's written a poem once and performed it like a long time ago. So like I haven't really seen her perform in a very like long time. She's danced in church a few times, but and in the choir. Yeah. But not really her like on stage by herself, like performing.
Right. So there you go. There's going to be like a woman's passion there. Who hasn't performed that much. She's just going to unleash it in this poem. You guys got to come to see
and
this.
And she's cooking and baking.
Yes. She's cooking and baking. Okay, so you know this is going to be, like, and it's also the first birthday, right?
Of your performance.
Everybody, just go see that. Go see that. I will be there. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. This has been a really, really nice episode of Puppet Save the World, in my personal opinion, even though it is my show. But you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. Again, if you like this is Freeform Radio. You can check us out at RadioFreeBrooklyn.com, but Patreon.com/RadioFreeBrooklyn. That's where you can donate to us. And if you like this show, if you want to be on this show, always feel free to email me at Took, T-O-O-K, at RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. If you disagree with me, I'd be happy to debate you. This is going to start to be like a call-in show soon, and you can, there's a Radio Free Brooklyn, I did that earlier, but I will read it again, Tom. we have a fundraiser also. We have a fundraiser, RFB Season 5 kickoff fundraiser concert on 5/21. I know I can put on the ad music again before we go, but... I'm gonna advertise for that for a second, but please call into the show at some point. I'll give you the number on all the What Would Save the World posts and stuff. And follow me on Twitter at 2KEDALOW, and you can get into the conversations about this show. And here, now we're going to do the advertisement for the RFB kickoff fundraiser. Do you love Radio Free Brooklyn? Love spending your Sundays dancing to rad local musicians? Want to help RFB kick off season 5? Well, you're in luck. Join us Sunday, May 21st, starting at 5:30 p.m. for a special fundraiser concert featuring music by Brooklyn's own Bushwick Hotel, Love Honey, and the Falling Birds. Also, Radical Vaudeville Acts, emceed by Faceboy, hosts of Art Star Scene Radio. This event will be held at the secret location in East Williamsburg. Tickets $10, and once you RSVP at radiofreebrooklyn.com/tickets, you'll be emailed the exact location. So come help us dive into summer at RFB season 5 kickoff showcase on May 21st. Visit radiofreebrooklyn.com/tickets to grab your ticket, and we'll see you on the dance floor. I will see you on the dance floor. I will be there. I will be there. I'll probably be covered in face paint too. All right. So we got like a minute. So like I said, you know, you should try to be on the show. You should follow me on Twitter. You should do all that stuff. We've advertised for... there we go. Bye. Wait, what the fuck is this? What is this weird ad playing? Is YouTube doing something weird? Okay, I'm closing it. I'm turning off all the sound on my computer. Okay, so this is supposed to be ad-free radio, but apparently not according to my technology. There are ads everywhere, and what would save the world is to get rid of advertising altogether, except for the two fundraisers that you have to attend.
Yes.
Because these ads, you can't avoid the ads, you know? You have, like, two choices. You can either, like, be bought by ads, even if you're trying not to, or go live out in the woods. There's two choices. You have these dual choices. We live in this dual system, masculine and feminine. This is that two-party system. It's so offensive and upsetting. But anyway, I've been here with Nia and Ness. They're fantastic. They're going to help us undo this dual system. And you got to keep listening. You got to listen to Brooklyn Bandstand with Tom Tenney coming up in just a couple of minutes. You're going to hear some Radio Free Brooklyn in-between snippet awesomeness. And then you're going to listen to some local music. And it's going to be beautiful. Thank you so much for listening to the first episode of season 3 of What Would Save the World and season 5 of Radio Free Brooklyn of What Would Save the World. Bye. Wait, no, wait. I have another minute. Yes.
It's all good.
What Would Save the World is if Took smoked less weed. Yeah.
You're not even high now.
I'm not even high now, but you know that stuff's got long-term effects on your brain. Although, but apparently it's really good for your body sometimes, sort of. I don't even know. Anyway, you guys got to go to these fundraisers, and you got to take down the two-party system and take down the dual systems of America and the world of beyond. And you guys got to watch this documentary called Hypernormalization by Adam Clark. It'll teach you all about the Middle East, and then you'll feel really, really, really dumb. You will feel like, holy shit, I don't know anything about world history or the history of extremist groups in the Middle East. And then you'll probably feel like the world is over more than I do. Doing a show called Up and Save the World, you learn that the world is over. And I've never been sadder in my life. I love you all. Bye.